scriptures this morning from the Gospel of Luke. I'll try to get out of your way. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things that were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they said unto him, that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of a little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of His precious and His eternal Word. There are ways that things get into us, into our mind. What we eat goes through our mouth, and we swallow and it becomes part of us. What we see comes through our eyes and it goes in and becomes part of us. What we hear comes into our ears and goes into our mind and becomes part of us. So what we're eating, what we're seeing, and what we're hearing becomes part of us. There are two men here today who heard something. One of them's name was Bartimaeus. Now, you don't learn that from the Gospel of Luke, but if you read the Gospel of Mark and Matthew, you learn that his name is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is a beggar. He doesn't have Social Security, doesn't have Medicare, he doesn't have Medicaid, he doesn't have any net to catch him. When he is blind and there's no help, there's no trust, there's nothing for him. So the question becomes, what's going to become of Bartimaeus? He has nothing to do but sit by the roadside and beg. So beggars, sort of in competition with one another, wanted the most prolific place for people to pass by. Bartimaeus lives in the city of Jericho. He's fortunate to live in Jericho. Jericho is a tropical city. It's hard to believe. Jerusalem is 15 to 18 miles northwest of Jericho. It can snow in Jerusalem. It has palm trees, but it can snow in Jerusalem. But it never snows in Jericho. Jericho is below sea level, a couple thousand feet below sea level. Jerusalem is about 3,000 feet above sea level. So you can see that in the 15 to 18 miles between the two cities, there's a precipitous drop off. So when we sing, used to be a song about the Jericho Road, and people talk about the Jericho Road, and the road from Jerusalem to Jericho is a terrible road, torturous. That's where the Good Samaritan story takes place. It's torturous, it's dangerous, and there are thieves and robbers that inhabit it. So the beggar, Lazarus, Bartimaeus, is fortunate to be in Jericho, because it's always warm. And it is the city of the priest. It is where the palace of Herod is. It's their winter home. It's where they go to get away from the cold winters that can strike up on the mountain in the rest of Israel. So they live down there. It's the city of palms. That's date palms. So there's lots of tropical fruit, lots of everything down there. But Bartimaeus is blind. He cannot find his way. He has no help. So he's sitting by the road begging where most of the people will come by. Now the other dude, his name's Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is the very opposite of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus lives down on the lower north side of Jericho next to the river. Zacchaeus lives on the upper west side of Jericho, starting up the mountain where the palaces and the rich people are. And he is very, very rich. He's not just a little rich. He's not just well off. He is filthy rich. And filthy is the word. Everybody hates Zacchaeus. Everybody. Nobody likes Zacchaeus. You say, why? Number one, they don't like his job. He is a tax collector. Now, he's not like our commissioner of the revenue that we would vote for. You see, the Romans are a conquering nation, and they have taken over nation after nation after nation, including Israel. And then they station troops there, and they hire people like Zacchaeus to collect the taxes. The taxes are heavy, and the taxes are hard to pay, and people hate the tax collector because he collects the Roman taxes. And the Roman taxes are used to support false gods. The Roman coins have a picture of Caesar on it, and the Romans actually worship their emperor. So when we look at what's going on, people hate Zacchaeus, not so much because he's rich, but because he got it being a tax collector for the Roman government. That makes him a traitor in their eyes to his country. I understand that. If we were taken over in America by some foreign country, somebody else, suppose Canada comes down and takes us over, and the Canadians charge us a big tax, and I come out to collect the tax, you're going to resent me. Now, what's so awful about them, and by the way, the word for tax collector is publican. No, not Republican, publican. And the publican collects the taxes. Now, it would be bad enough if the publican collected exactly the tax that the Romans said to collect. Here's the trouble. Good portion of the people are illiterate. Good portion of the people are functionally illiterate. They don't know how to count money. They don't know how to figure math. They don't know how to take care of what's going on. So what happens is the tax collector knows this. He collects the Roman tax, and then he ups the ante and collects some more for his purse. Now, Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector, which means he's got other tax collectors under him. They're collecting taxes, they're robbing the people, and then they're bringing it up to him, and he's just filthy rich. So we have two men in our story, Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus. Now Bartimaeus comes into the story first because he's down on the lower east side of Jericho, next to the river, and Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Now they don't know it, but this is the last time that Jesus will ever pass by. Put that back in your mind. What if this was the last day that Jesus would ever pass by? How would you stand with him? Where would you stand with him? What would be your lifestyle? What would happen in your life if you knew that this was the last time that Jesus was going to pass by? Now they don't know it, but it is. And it turns out to be that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die on the cross. He has traveled from Upper Galilee all the way to Jericho. Now, he didn't really have to go to Jericho. He could have come through Samaria and went straight to Jerusalem. But with all the other people going to Passover, they won't go through Samaria. They hate the Samaritans. So they go down the Jordan River, cross the river, go through Jericho, and up the mountain to Jerusalem. So as they come into Jericho, they encounter Bartimaeus. Now, Jesus has been preaching and teaching all the way into down from Jerusalem. They also know that he has raised Lazarus from the dead. So the crowd is tremendous. The crowd walking down the street, Jesus is preaching, Jesus is teaching, Jesus is healing people. Jesus is doing all kinds of wondrous things, and this crowd's going with him, and they're hanging on his every word, and they get to Jericho, and the blind man is sitting beside the road, and he hears something going on. There's a crowd in the street. There's people moving. There's people hollering, and there is a man preaching or teaching as he moves. And so the question is in his mind, what's going on here? I hear all of this, but what is it? So he asks, what's going on? What's this crowd doing? Well, it's the crowd going to Jerusalem for the Passover, and Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter, the preacher, is in the crowd, and he's teaching and preaching as he walks along. Well, if it had been a light bulb in Lazarus's head, it would have lit up. I mean, Bartimaeus's head. It would have lit up. You know why? It suddenly hits him that this is the only hope he ever has to regain his sight. This is the only possibility that there is that he will ever receive his sight. He knows that there are no doctors. He couldn't afford them if there were. There are no doctors to help him. There are no social programs to undergird him and put a safety net under him. He is doomed to a life of poverty and a life of begging. And as he sits there and he realizes, faith takes hold of his heart and he hollers as loud as he can, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And somebody said, shh, don't you know he's preaching? Don't be hollering like that. Don't be doing that, he's preaching. You got to listen to him. You can't be hollering and yelling. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They said, shh, didn't we tell you to be quiet? We can't hear him preach. What's going on? Why are you? He don't listen to any of them. Oh, if you could seek God like this man. He don't listen to any of them. He immediately hollers again, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, what do you want? What can I do for you? Bring him to me. And they said, he's asking for you. Bartimaeus, he's asking for you. And they get Bartimaeus and they bring him to Jesus. And Jesus asks a question that you'd say, well, duh. Wonder how many times in his life Bartimaeus has said, oh, if I could just only see. Wonder how many times he said, oh, if I could only regain my eyesight. Wonder how many times. But nothing ever happened. But Jesus said, what would you like me to do for you? He gets him to put his faith in words. And he says that I might receive my sight. And Jesus very simply says, and by the way, you should read, you should just make a study of reading the miracles and healings of Jesus Christ. He doesn't put on a show. He doesn't say, now y'all get back and get out here because I'm going to do a miracle. I want to show you the miracle working power of God. Everybody get back. And then he goes through this thing of laying his hands on him and doing all these motions and hollering. And no, he doesn't do any of that. Jesus simply says, receive thy sight. Your faith has saved you. And immediately, did you know Jesus never performed a progressive healing miracle? Never performed a progressive healing miracle? Every time he healed anybody, they were healed. Immediately. And Jesus never healed anybody halfway. He never gave them a stage of healing. When he healed them, they were completely done. Peter's mother-in-law, when Jesus went in the house, was laying in the bed of a fever. She could not get up. She could not do anything. Jesus healed her. She got up and cooked dinner. Immediately. Immediately. Little girl jumped up that he raised from the dead at Jairus' house. She got up and immediately ate dinner. They gave her something to eat. Lazarus came out of the tomb. He didn't have to be anything done to him. He came out of the tomb on his own power and walked away and went and ate dinner someplace. Jesus did not perform halfway miracles. He performed instantaneous and total and absolute healings. And he is no less God today, by the way, than he was then. Now, Bartimaeus hears about Jesus. And some way, what he hears about Jesus ignites faith in his heart. And Bartimaeus asks for his healing, and he gets it. Now, you talk about starting a meeting. Everybody in Jericho knows that Bartimaeus is blind. Everybody that comes that way to the Passover has seen Bartimaeus there when they went in and when they come out several times in their lifetime. Everybody knows Bartimaeus is blind and cannot see. But when Jesus heals him, they start to have church. People start to rejoice. People start to praise God. People start to have just joy overflowing and giving glory and praise to God. And wonder of wonders that everybody in Jericho is happening. Now, that means that up on the ritzy section, Snob Knob, on the way out of Jericho toward Jerusalem, old, rich, mean, stealing, treacherous, and traitor, Zacchaeus hears the noise. He hears about what's going on, and he said, what's going on? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth has come, and he's on his way to the Passover. And would you believe it? He's just now healed Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is no longer blind. Now Zacchaeus knows very well who Bartimaeus is. He sees him every day of his life. He has seen him for years sitting there begging, probably too stingy to put anything in his cup or to help him. And he suddenly realizes that somebody is coming down the road in front of his house that is tremendously different than anyone else. So he says, I've got to see who this is. But when he gets out to the street, he's got a problem. He's a short boy. He's a short old man. He cannot see. He tries to see over the people's heads, and he can't see over them. I remember, was you ever a kid at the Christmas parade, and you wanted to see Santa Claus or what was going on? And all the grown people, I remember when I was at the Christmas parade, Nolan, And Nola's uncle, by the way, was Bob Porterfield, pitched for the Yankees and the Washington Senators. And Bob was sitting on a fire truck with a basket full of autographed baseballs, throwing them out. That was a whole lot better than Santa Claus and a bag of hard candy. And I'd have just jumped in the water nearly for one of those baseballs that Bob was throwing out. But I couldn't even see him hardly because the grown people all rushed in front of us kids, and I'm going, you know, and I can't see it. This is where Zacchaeus is. He's standing behind all these tall people. They all want to see Bartimaeus. They all want to see Jesus, and Zacchaeus can't see him. So there's a sycamore tree. Please do not confuse the word sycamore in the Bible with these trees that are growing right out here, these tall sycamores out here beside the creek. It's not. The sycamore tree he's talking about is really a fig tree. And it grows up like this and goes way out and has these long extending limbs that go out and they lend themselves out over the road. Zacchaeus can get a hold of the limbs. He pulls himself up. He shinnies out one of the limbs and he's hid. Jesus has to come down the street and walk right under him. He's hid among the leaves. Nobody knows he's up there. Nobody can see him. Nobody knows what's happening. Zacchaeus is hid among the trees. And Jesus is walking down the road preaching. People are shouting. Bartimaeus is so happy he can see. And all at once, Jesus stops under the limb. I have some news for you. Jesus knows exactly what limb you're sitting on. He knows exactly which bunch of leaves you're hiding in. And he knows your name if nobody ever introduces you. He knows exactly who you are. And Jesus stops and Zacchaeus is looking down and they make eye contact. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going home and eat dinner with you. Whoa, Zacchaeus cannot believe. He noticed him. He knows his name. He calls him out. He invites himself to go home with him. And down the tree he comes to take Jesus home with him. That's what he wants you to do today. Take him home with you. And everybody said, I thought he was a man of God. Would you look at that? He went home with a sinner. He's going home and eat dinner with a sinner. He's going in that old sinner's house. I was criticized once because there was a man over in the other end of the county, that inn, who was living in an adulterous relationship. And they knew I had nothing to eat one evening, and they invited me home to eat dinner with them when I was working. And I went to their house, and I don't care if they were living in sin, she could fry good taters and onions. And they took me in, and I ate dinner with them. And I said, could we ask the blessing? And I prayed the blessing over their table and over their home. But a few months later, I went into church down at Naris and married them and straightened things out. You see, my friend, Jesus Christ did come to be a friend to sinners. And when he looked up and saw Zacchaeus, he went home with him. And you know, did you notice about Jesus? He evidently didn't belong to some churches I've been in and been part of. And you say, why is that? Because if he had, he would have said, why, you filthy, dirty old adulterer, you ungodly, hellish heathen. Don't you know you're going to hell in a handbasket? You don't have a chance of getting into heaven. You think I'd go to your house and sit down at your table with the way you're living and the way you stole? If you don't straighten up and fly right, you're going straight to hell. And sure, to be there as if you'd been there 10,000 years, Granny'd say. Man, you don't hear that out of Jesus. He went home and blessed the bread and ate dinner. His presence in Zacchaeus' house changed everything. Zacchaeus said, stood up. He'd been sitting at the table. Stood up. He said, Lord, you know what I'm going to do? The Lord knew what he's going to do, but he asked him, what are you going to do? I'm going to give half of everything I've got to the poor. I'm just going to give it all, half of it away right here and now. Wow. You talk about a boon to social services coffers in Jericho that day. half of all he had, he gave away. And he said, you know what else I'm going to do? Everybody that I've cheated, if they will come and let me know it, I'll give them back four times. Now, the Old Testament only required a fifth. But he said, I'll give them four times back what I've stole off of them. Wow. And you know what Jesus said? Said, you're a son of Abraham. Well, now, the Jews didn't like that. Son of Abraham. He's making him a son of Abraham. And here he is being a traitor to our country. And here he is taking all that money off of poor people. And he's calling him a son of Abraham. And he said, salvation has come to your house. And the Jews suddenly are face to face with it. You can be a son of Abraham, but you're also a sinner if you're not saved by God. And they had problem with that. They had problems with that. Well, Bartimaeus heard about Jesus. And Zacchaeus heard about Jesus and Bartimaeus. And because of what they heard, their lives changed. I wonder what people around you hear. I wonder what people hear. What have you heard? Have you heard something in your life that's changed you? Have you ever heard something that made a difference? Have you ever heard something in your life that set you on fire and made you want to change the way you were living and the way you were doing? I think back over my life of the things that I've heard, and they changed my life. One of the most wonderful things that I have in my whole memory of my life is hearing people pray. I grew up where everybody prayed. Early in the morning, I'd see my mama go around the hill behind the house, and a little bit I'd hear her voice from out at the branch. She'd be praying in the summertime. A little bit later, I'd see my Aunt June make that same path, and I'd hear her voice as she prayed. Later in the morning, I'd hear my grandma, Marshall, and she'd walk out to the spring house and sit on the front steps, and she'd pray in the summertime. And I'd hear her voice. One morning, I heard her praying, and I wanted to go over there, but I knew not to go till she finished praying. And I heard the prayer end. I heard her quit praying at the branch and at the spring house. So I went to the house, and I went to go in the back door. What I didn't realize was that Grandma prayed through to victory. Grandma had prayed through to glory and had shouted all the way from the spring house to the house. And when I opened the back door, she was coming through the kitchen with her arms up, speaking in tongues and glorifying God. And I'm going, all right, Granny. And she shouts out. She shouts in the yard. We had a store. She shouted down the hill. And she went through the store and she shouted and blessed all the customers and Granddaddy and everybody in the store. She got in the road. She had herself a time that morning, I'm telling you. She shouted up the road. And Inez, Uncle Roby lived in a trailer there on that lot just up above us. And she shouted through their house and blessed it. She shouted through Miss Griffith's house and blessed it. She got up to Uncle Ted and Aunt Edna's and she shouted through their house and blessed it. And she shouted through Uncle Hyman's and blessed it. And every house in the holler, Grandma shouted through. That's one of the favorite things in my life, is remembering those people praying. And when I came to church, the first thing we would do when we got to church is somebody would get up and literally say, I'm going to call this meeting to order. And when they did, they would say, would you come and pray? And people would go and get down on their knees and begin to pray. Somebody didn't stand up and lead in prayer. They got down on their knees and prayed. And they would begin praying, and I could hear Uncle Joe, and I don't know why, but they put their hand over their ear. And I could hear Uncle Joe sitting on the front, and then Uncle Sonny Mills would be back in the holler. And Granny Effie, before she was in the wreck, would get down on her knees and put her head right beside the pulpit, completely on the floor. And those people would start praying, and they would pray. And I could hear their voices raising and falling. And as the Spirit would get in their prayer, it would become like their voices was all one. And I'd hear Uncle Joe holler, great God. And folks, let me tell you something. When they got up from that prayer, they were ready to have church. They didn't have to pump it up, prize it down, or seed the clouds to get it to fall. When they got up from that prayer, they were there. The other thing I remember is them singing. The people sang. When they came to church, they sang. But they sang on the way to church. We would walk two miles over here to church around by the Celanese. And Mama and Aunt June and whoever's walking with us would sing as we walked along the road. Sometimes we would ride in the trunk of Daddy's 29 Chevrolet car. And they would sing, and I can hear them singing, "If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right. I know the Lord will make a way somehow." And by the time he got to church, they done sang their way to victory. When they were, I can see Grandma Marshall now standing in the kitchen with a fire going in the August hot day, have a canner of beans on the stove and a fire going, you know, burning, the boiling the water and doing the cooking, and standing there in her long sleeve dress with a spoon in her hair and a wisp of hair falling down over her face, singing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And after a while, she starts singing, "Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away." And she began to sing about the unclouded day. Those are things that I heard. And when I'd come to church, I'd hear preaching. Now, I didn't hear just a little bitty preaching. I didn't hear a homily. I heard preaching. People preached. Maybe two or three people in the same service would preach. And they would preach and they would preach. And when they got to the altar call, "Brother, you better be ready to meet God or they's coming to meet you." One of the blessed things that I can remember is the sounds of family. We had a fellow in Pembroke, and he would get so mad when they'd have a ball game over at the little ball field across from our house. And everybody would cheer and everybody would holler. You know how it is at a ball game with kids. Everybody's having a good time, and this man would complain and complain to the law. And somebody came to me and said, "How do you feel about that?" I said, "Oh, I think it's wonderful. I think it's the sound of a free people in America. People are rejoicing and happy, and they're playing ball and they're free. I think it's a wonderful sound, don't you? I think the sound of children giggling and laughing and the sound of them running through the house and the sound of the conversations, the family sounds. Don't you think those are wonderful sounds? Those are sounds that change your life. Those are the sounds that make you be somebody." And I have to say, what's entering into our ears? Are your children's ears filled with the sound of mama praying or daddy singing? Buddy Hudson used to live over where Ricky Taylor lives now, and I was his yard boy. It's hard to think about now, but I mowed Buddy's yard when I was a kid, and he had just moved here, and he had a baby. I can't remember which one of the girls was a baby, but you know what I remember about Buddy? I'd be mowing the yard, and Buddy'd be rocking that baby, singing, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there," to the top of his voice. My brothers and sisters, what will be entering into the brains of your children? Will they be hearing mama pray, papa sing? Will they be hearing the good things, or will they be hearing the bad things? And the question is, what will you be hearing? What do you fill your ears and your mind with? Is it filled with trashy music and trashy lyrics and trashy things? Or do you find yourself filling your mind with the good things of God, with the blessed things of God? I have discovered that the internet is a wonderful thing. I don't care much about all the gossip and all that stuff that goes on. But by the way, I'm glad to have Fern back with me. I've been batching for a week, and it ain't no fun. And I know one night I turned in this old-time holiness music on the computer, and it's just wonderful listening to those old songs, and I can fill my mind with the thoughts of God. I can fill my mind with the Holy Scriptures. I can fill my mind. Zacchaeus heard about Jesus and Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus heard about Jesus, and it changed their lives. It gave them faith. My friend, I hope that when somebody comes by me and they hear me talking, they can hear me talking about Jesus. I hope when they come by, they can hear me talking about something good, not something trashy, not some low-down thing that's going on. My brothers and sisters, the blind man heard about Jesus. The sinner man heard about Jesus, and it changed their lives. Have you heard from Jesus lately? Let me tell you something. The only person you're probably not going to hear from Jesus in the sense that he's going to go and come down and stand in fire and all of that. But you know, you're probably going to hear from Jesus, because I'm going to hear Jenny talking about Jesus, talking about something he's done. I'm going to hear Stanley talking about something that Jesus has done in his life. I'll never forget, as a little boy, my mother's first cousin, Darthula Neal, came from Bluefield down to visit, and my Aunt Debbie was there. And I sat in the hall and eavesdropped. Oh, I'm so glad I did that day. I sat in the hall and eavesdropped. I was raised in a time when children were to be seen, but not heard. You didn't dare interrupt grown people's conversations. You didn't dare interrupt what was going on with the adults, but you could sit and listen. And I sat in the hall that day and listened to Darthula talk to Aunt Debbie. And Darthula's husband was an awful drunk. He wasn't an alcoholic, he was a drunk. He was a hellion. He got drunk on the weekend and in the weekdays too, and raised hell all around the house and upset everything going on. And I remember her talking about how she got through that. I remember her telling that day how that one day he came in to kill her and had a hatchet in his hand. And he raised back to hit her, and she hollered, "In the name of Jesus." And he was paralyzed. His hand was paralyzed in the air, and he could not strike. He could not hit her. He could not touch her. And I'm so glad I heard that. I heard her tell how she got through the terrible time when her daughter was killed in an automobile wreck. We, none of us knew that Almeda had been killed. You know, we didn't have telephones or anything. We're having church up at Alum Springs, and Sister James got up and began to sing about the wreck on the highway. And as she did, the Holy Ghost fell in that church and went and gathered up every member of the Slaughter and Tate families and brought them to the front and gave out the prophecy. And then somebody came in and confirmed it, that Almeda had been killed in a wreck. And Darthula was so worried whether she was saved or not. She was buried in Maple Hill Cemetery in Bluefield, Virginia. And she said one night, I remember this story so good, she was walking through Maple Hill Cemetery and she was looking for Almeda's grave. But when she got to it, she looked and it was just an empty grave and there was nothing in it. And a voice said, "She's not here, for she has risen." And that's what she lived on, because her daughter was killed in an automobile wreck and she didn't know for sure whether she was saved or not. You see, why are you telling those stories? I'm telling you those stories because those are things I could hear. I heard those people tell those stories, and I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I did. And let me tell you, what you hear goes into your brain. What you see goes into your brain. What you eat goes into your body. But my brothers and sisters, if you take it in, you can change. The blind man became sighted because he heard about Jesus. The sinner man became saved because he heard about Jesus. And I heard the prayers and the songs. And I heard the testimonies and the preaching. And it saved my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He saved me. Oh, wonderful Savior. Marvelous Savior. Let us, when our children and our grandchildren get grown, let them have memories of our prayers and of our songs and of our lives. Amen. Have you heard anybody talking about Jesus? Have you heard the glorious news? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the good word all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Father God, in the mighty and the wonderful and the glorious name of Jesus, we come into your presence today. And Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your grace and your love and your mercy. And oh, Father, I thank you for what we've heard. I thank you, Father, as we've listened in our blindness and in our sinfulness, we've heard about Jesus. And oh, Father, I thank you that it's true. I thank you that he did come, he did live, he did die, he did raise again, and he is coming again. Oh, I thank you so much that we've heard about it. And now, Lord, I pray, touch this audience and touch our radio audience and our internet audience. Wherever people are hearing this message, Father, touch them as they hear, that their lives may be changed because they hear about Jesus. Father, we ask these favors and blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's sing. And as we sing, if you would like to be prayed for, you have something in your heart that you need to bring to the Lord, I would invite you to come.